Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn. All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began.
You know, we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it. When I see you again,
first you both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong and what's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond and that bond will never be broken, the love will never get lost. And when brotherhood comes first, and the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we reach. So remember me when I'm gone. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side, and now you're gonna be with me for the last ride.
Don't let the light guide your way. Yeah. And every road you take will always lead you home. Oh, it's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again. When I see you again.
Perfect. It's only you. Queen, can you hear me? Queen, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I didn't hear you for a while, though.
Oh, perfect. Guess what? As always, it's me and Blog Talk that have beef. It's good. You're going to make this do what it do. I promise you. Okay, this is the Mocha Soul Show and Queen, Black Queen Show. And we love you for participating with this topic. And we always have plans, but sometimes those plans don't go according to plan. It's okay. We're going to make it do what it do. I love you desperately. Since 2005, you've been holding me down, and I appreciate you. I see you 216. I see you 404. I see you 323. I see you 716. I see you. I love you. And as always, it's me. It's okay. And we're going to have a show today based on the controversy at hand. And what we started out to do is probably not going to go that way. I don't know. We'll see what happens, Queen. What do you want us to do?
Well, we can just go into the show. I mean, that would have kind of did pretty good. If you want to, we can still do it, though.
Okay, I'm going to have to. And I apologize. I'm so sorry, everybody, for the technical difficulties that it seems that only I have. I don't know. Maybe other people have it as well. I don't know. But I'm going to start off with this, okay? And I love you. I'm Amadou Diallo, Yusef Hawkins, Alton Sterling, Abner Louima, Patrick Darzline, the Charleston Nine people, okay, Trayvon Martin, the Dallas police officers who were killed recently. There's more. There's more. The list goes on, and it will continue. Hopefully not so long, because that's how this history has people get mad at me when I say training. That's how we were trained to be as such, if you will. Don't get mad at me. It is what it is. I love you. This is Mocha. I'm not going to take up all of your time. This is Queen's show. I just want to welcome you to the Mocha Soul show. I love you desperately, and thank you for holding me down throughout the years. I'm not feeling too good. This is not my show anymore. I'm done. I'm retired. But again, I love you. Again, the number is 646-478-5265, and we have guests coming on, guests coming in who are just coming to give their thoughts, their perspectives, if you will. And if not, you know what? We're going to make it do what it do. We're going to have our own perspectives. If that doesn't happen, it's cool. And we love you, and I'm going to turn this over to the Queen, okay? Is that okay?
That will be just fine. Welcome, everyone.
Perfect.
To the Black Queen Radio Show. Welcome, everybody, to the Black Queen Radio Show and the Mocha Soul Show. Got to give her props. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to have an awesome show. I look forward to hearing everyone's comments, questions, concerns, and whatnot as far as what's been going on, you know, in our recent history, part of self, our current news or whatnot. First, I have to thank Mocha for giving me this opportunity. Of course, I'm new to the radio business, but I'm actually liking it. So, kind of be patient with me because I'm still kind of new to this. So I just want to put out a couple disclaimers. If you are logged onto the radio via the internet, kind of turn your radios, your music down, your volume down, rather, so we won't get any type of interference. Grab you a bottle of water, pen and paper, because you might want to take down some information that we may have. The guest that we have come on the show, he's awesome, so he may be giving some information out. Mocha or myself, we might be giving out some information, so just be prepared for that. And also, to protect any sensitive ears, meaning our children, our younger children, try to strive to move away from the radio just in case we have any inappropriate language, just to kind of protect that. So for the most part, if you want to make a comment or ask a question to our host or our guest, just press the number one. We're not going to assume you want to speak. So if you want to speak, you know, once we kind of get into the dialogue or whatnot, just press your one and we'll bring you into the call. Today we're going to be discussing, of course, the police violence, you know, the latest incidents in the news, Alton Sterling, Philando Castillo, and Makai Johnson. We also want to talk about the violence in our communities because it is not just with the police. You know, we got a lot of, even in my city, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, in our city, even within the last week, we've had at least 25 shootings. So we want to kind of, you know, point on that and just kind of see, you know, give thoughts or comments on where we can kind of help each other out or help, you know, each other to kind of solve the issue. I don't know if my guest is ready to chime in yet, but I just want to kind of introduce him. Mocha, is he ready? Hello?
Mocha. Can
Give me 1 second, guys. I'm going to go ahead and introduce him. Pardon, sir, we are having a few technical difficulties. I will that everyone can hear me. Our special guest today is, I really don't know where to begin to introduce him. He is a man of many things, actually. He's an author, an educator, a journalist, a community activist, a youth advocate, as well as an influential individual in my culture, the Nation of Gods and Earths. He is also responsible for some of my continued growth and development based on his knowledge and wisdom. And I just want to welcome the God to the show, Saladin Quinaya Ala. Are you on the call?
Okay. Hello?
Yep.
Good. Perfect. I'm so sorry. This is God. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Perfect. And I do apologize for the technical difficulties. Let's get started. Have we started yet, or is it just me started? Let's go.
Yes.
Listen, God. First of all, peace to the God. I think you're amazing. I follow you. I think you're great. That's the first thing.
Thank you.
And I want to know, I'm sorry?
You said okay. You want to know what?
Good. Yes, I want your perspective on all of this, all the madness. And again, I apologize for the technical difficulties. Couldn't get in, Queen couldn't get in. It's a mess. But I'm on now. If you can hear me, I'm on. And no matter what, this is an archive, so we're going to make it do what it do. So, what is your perspective? The police shootings, everything that's going on right now in America, the world, everything. Give it to me. What's up?
First of all, this shit always been going on. You know what I mean? It's just now with the growth of social media and the expansion of the internet, it can be amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what it is. I mean, social media and the internet has essentially shrunk the world in such a way where people have the perceived instant access to anyone around the world. And it also gives you a sense of things that have always been going on, especially here in America, as if it is somehow greater or more of an emergency than what it's always been. We've always seen police murders and we've always seen violence like that in our community against our people. But it's like now, you know, instead of having it on a postcard and shit where it can go around the country, I mean, you could just look at your phone and see incidences of violence going on. Yeah, you remember back in the day when we saw a lot of the lynchings and stuff that was going on and a lot of white people, when they would lynch some of our people, they would oftentimes take body parts as souvenirs, and then they would also take pictures of the lynchings mm-hmm. and put the shit on postcards. And mm-hmm. sometimes they would come to areas and take the train to see a lynching because it was such a big event for them. And those who were not able to get to that location to witness the lynching, some of their family members who may have been across the country would send them a postcard of the lynching. And that would take, you know, a little bit of time for them to actually get something tangible that reflected that event that took place. But nowadays, you could see a lynching. If it, the person that just shot Elton Sterling and his girlfriend that recorded it, that shit was live streamed on Facebook. That's a lot different than seeing a lynching of a postcard being passed around the country. You could see this shit instantaneously now. You know, so one of the things that I encourage people to do is go back and study history, study the chronology of the events that are leading up to where we're at right now, because none of this stuff is new. This has always been happening to us.
Absolutely not. Let me ask you guys, listen, and again, the number is 646-478-5265. Please call in to let us know your perspective because we do want to hear it. Do you think that what we've taken on as trophies, like this is what happened, along with what they've done, are we taking on the same mindset as this with showing out? Let me show you what happened. This is a lynching because I don't know what you're talking about as far as that last lynching is concerned. Are you saying that we all doing that or just them? I hate to say just them for my listeners who are not us. I love you, but this is history, and it's, you know, what we need. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of us are also desensitized to death as well. And, you know, you see a horrible-ass car accident. You know, people oftentimes are not turning away. They want to go look and see what happened, even though it's a horrendous event that just took place. Like, people are oftentimes drawn to negativity and conflict and violence. And even if they say they don't support it, on a subconscious level, there's still this level of attraction and interest and curiosity into some of those type of things. You know, a lot of people love The Walking Dead, you know. It's like this obsession with death. And, you know, some of us have a bad habit of further amplifying some of these things that we're seeing instead of striving to offer solutions. You know, so for example, some of us are guilty of just sharing stuff, just talking about how bad it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, look at this person get hit by this car and look at their bones sticking out their leg. Or, you know, oh, man, it's so bad the way they just killed this person and shot the gun. But there's no solution being offered. You're just as bad as anybody else that's sharing that and not striving to come up with some kind of viable solutions. You know, so in that regard, that's no different than passing around postcards with lynchings on it. You know what I mean? So, and I think people in general are guilty of that.
Let me ask you this. Well, hold on. First, Queen, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here. I am here.
Got you.
Thank
you. Peace to my queen. Peace to the earth. I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Go, take it. This is you. This is you. I'm out.
You.
Bye.
Peace, God.
Peace.
Did you get your proper introduction? Because I don't know if you heard my intro. Did you hear my intro? Because I have to introduce you properly.
Yeah, I heard it. That was...
Okay.
Yeah, I heard
that's
it. Peace. That was
okay, that's cool. She kind of took over for me because I was having technical difficulties. That's cool. So she pretty much asked you what I wanted to ask you, too. But I have a question for you. Actually, I have a couple. What do you think we can do as an individual? This is actually a two-part. What do you think we can do as an individual and a collective to strive for change with what's going on right now? Like, in your opinion, what's your thoughts on that? Hello? Oh, my goodness.
Hear me?
Can you hear me?
Now.
Let me
go back to what I said. In regards to the culture we share, we talk about knowledge being the foundation. And knowledge is the foundation or symbolically number one because you need to know something first before you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in knowing something, that just means not only acquiring more information or data, but also being more aware of yourself, your own skill sets, as well as your environment. So oftentimes when we see events like this that are being broadcast nationally and internationally, you always have to be conscious enough to scale that down to how it practically applies to where you actually live. Like, for example, you're out there in Cleveland, so what happened with Tamir Rice, that is directly in your backyard. Your approach towards striving to find solutions is a little different than a small town in Wyoming that may not have the same demographics as Cleveland does or the same type of incidences of violence. So I say that to say we have to be able to think global but act local. We have to be able to look at things on a national level but then scale it down regionally and locally and find out, well, what is the demographics where I live? what is the percentage of this particular ethnic group or nationality in comparison to that group? What is actually going on where I live at? Like where I'm at in Niagara Falls, which is right on the border to Canada, we don't have the same degree of tension between the community and the police force as you would have in a Baltimore or you would have in Oakland or some of these larger cities. So our approach towards solutions would be a lot different than people in other different places. So that is the first thing that I would always encourage people to do. You have to do the knowledge. You have to find out what's actually going on where you live at.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about what's going on where you live at, you may have to come up with different type of solutions to address different problems that on a national level affects people differently in different places. But on a broad level, there is a problem with the relationship between law enforcement and the community. That's just generally across the board.
Mm-hmm.
To what degree there is an issue, you have to determine that for yourself where you live at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, that may not be the priority where you live. It may be other things that you need to work towards. It may be that same type of disparity between your religious community where you live at and just the community members who are not a part of that religion. That may be the same type of dynamic going on that's creating tension in your community. That may be what's necessary to address. So that is the first thing that I tell people to do. You have to be more aware of where you live at and what is going on. What's going on where you live at? You know,
right.
You may see some of these things going on in Minnesota and Louisiana and all of these other different places, but what is happening where you live and what could you do about it? So that's what you got to do first. Find out what's going on in your own city, in your own community. And that will put you in a position to find out, well, what the hell I can do. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you wanted to
right.
do something on a national level, you have to link with people who are in those areas or in that city to find out what you can do as an outsider. Can you donate anything? Can you be a voice on social media? Can you use your platform in other different ways to help affect change? What you can do as an outsider, so then you can think about that as well. You know? So that's
right,
what I
right.
mean. People got to get they got to become aware first.
Exactly. Yeah. We're for some reason, I'm not sure, but the term that was recently coined, modern day lynching. What do you think? Well, I don't want to say what do you think. What's your thoughts on that? Like, for those who may not understand that term, can you kind of explain that so they can better understand?
Well, the good thing about the term, you know, is that it implies that there are lynchings that ain't modern.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're talking to youth. If you use the phrase modern-day lynching, then it automatically begs the question, well, what is a latter, you know, what's a latter day? You know, what's a lynching that isn't modern?
Right.
So willfully, that will encourage people to look back and, like I said, and study the history of the chronology of what's been consistently going on in this country. You know what I mean? And
right.
that's the thing about the media shaping narratives. They use language like that for specific reasons. You know, either to
right.
imply something or to eliminate certain ideas so that it doesn't beg the question about anything else. So I think it's a good term as long as it's used in the proper context to provoke
mm-hmm.
thought and conversation about lynchings that are not modern day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a good book that I would encourage people to, I think it's called, let me look. I'm going to look it up and then I'll let you know what
okay.
it is. But it's about,
okay.
it's a whole book about lynchings.
Okay, that's
just,
cool.
It's actually photocopied articles of lynchings.
Okay, that's cool.
So it's not even a written book. You know?
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, definitely put that when you get a chance, you know, put that out there so we can kind of do the knowledge to that. I want to kind of get your thoughts on the Alton Sterling incident and the Philando Castile incident. Like, what do you think could have happened? I keep using that word for that phrase. Think I'm striving not to. What's your thoughts on what could have prevented that? Just for the masses to kind of see others' opinions in it, because you know the media, of course, will put it out how they want to put it out. But I want to kind of put it out a different way. So, what do you think could have happened with that case, with the knowledge that you have on it, as well as the Philando Castile case, with the knowledge that you have on that? What do you think could have been done different to prevent both?
It's difficult to think of any kind of situation like that hypothetically, you know. And I say that because there's been so many different instances and examples of a person that may have been so-called wearing thug clothing, and you say, well, maybe he shouldn't have been wearing a hoodie. Then the next thing you know, you see somebody dying with a suit on. So then you say, well, maybe he shouldn't. He wouldn't have died with his suit on if he would have just put his hands up. So then you see another incident of somebody getting shot to death just, and they standing there with their hands up. So then you hear somebody say, "Well, maybe if he would have nodded his head when he had his hand, you know." So there's always some excuse or reason to co-sign this type of behavior on the part of law enforcement. So I say, hypothetically, there's nothing that this person could have done. He was already black. He was already a target. And we have to get out of the mindset of thinking that all we need to do is pull our pants up and wear a suit. Shit, all of the lynchings that was going on and going all the way back to the 30s, a lot of us was wearing suits getting lynched. So it ain't about clothes. You know what I'm saying? So I strive to not look at it that way, because then it gives an excuse for people that, oh, all we need to do is this. And then there's too many instances to show and prove that that is not the case. You died because you were black, period. No matter what you do, no matter what your social status was, no matter what you look like, your complexion, what you was wearing, what you did or didn't do. This person was unstable. They were afraid, and they took this person's life, and they're not being held accountable for it. We need to address those people, because, you know, you look at the way we judge black people in this society, in particular, any people of color, we're being judged according to a standard of normalcy, or that's considered normal. That's completely insane. Completely insane. We have the most insane people being the standards of judgment of conduct and behavior, judging other people against that standard. That's bullshit. And we have to get out of the habit of doing that, as if we could somehow live down to that level of insanity. Not up to, but down to that level of insanity. So I don't even entertain that type of conversation. Like, okay, maybe you need to do this, and, you know, whatever. You know, I listened to Roland Martin, and he was on the Wendy Williams show. And one of the things that he was saying that he tells younger people is, your first and most primary thing is to get home. You know, get home. Get home safely. And then we could strive to sort out and deal with the disrespect and everything else after the fact. But you need to be alive first for us to address and deal with anything. And I think that's some sound advice. You know what I'm saying? It's difficult. It's challenging. But it's not a bunch of this, you know, we'll just do this and bend over that way and say this and don't say that. And you know, obviously, obviously you conduct yourself in a civilized way, but damn, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. You know? Mocha, you want to add on to that? Pardon self. Mocha?
I do. I just wanted to interject just briefly, just in case anybody. You just time out because I know how radio works. This is Mocha and Tiffany, Queen, Black Queen. I'm sorry. We love you guys desperately. If you need to take a a time out for a hot second, go get some water, whatever. We love you. 478-787-1157 is the number. 478 787-1157 is the number. We just want to take a pause break for a second, and we want to come right back refreshed, okay? We love you. Yeah.
One time. Yeah. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things, his son did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, who I'm gon' body, this hood politics acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck, I got up, the cops shot again. Bust stop glass burst, a fiend drops his Heineken. Ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rep to the death of it. So everybody come on, little niggas is grown. Look rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon. Sit from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, a street sweepers and coppers. Stick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you ready to die, when nine's out, this is what nine's about. Nigga, the time is now.
One mic. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic. All I need is one blunt, one page, and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. Fuck all of them. Jesus died at age 33. That's 33 shots from twin Glocks and 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my guns was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 went into you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral never get shot up. Bullets tear through the innocent. Nothing is fair. Niggas roll up, shooting from wheelchairs. My heart is racing, tasting revenge in the air. I let this shit slide for too many years, too many times. Now I'm strapped with a couple of Macs, too many nines. If y'all niggas really with me, get busy, load up the semis. Do more than just hold it, explode the clip until you empty. There's nothing in our way. They bust, we bust, they rust, we rust. Let's fly and feel it, I feel it in my gut. That we take these bitches to war, lie them down, cause we stronger now, my nigga. This time is now.
All I need is one mic. That's all I need, nigga. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. That's all a nigga need to do his thing, you know. All I need is one mic.
All I need is one life, one try, one breath, I'm one man. What I stand for, speak for itself. They don't understand, they wanna see me on top. Too egotistical, talking all that slick shit the same way these bitches do. Wonder what my secrets is. Niggas will move on you only if they know what your weakness is. I have none. Too late to grab guns, I'm blasting, cause I'm a fool nigga. Thought I wouldn't have that ass done. Who's you niggas? What you call an infinite brawl, eternal souls clashing. World gets deep, some beef is everlasting. Complete with thick scars, brothers knifing each other up in prison. Drama, where does it start? You know the block was ill as a youngster. Every night it was like a cop will get killed. Body found in the dumpster, for real a hustler. Purchased my range, niggas throwing dirt on my name. Jealous cause fiends got they working complained. Bitches left me cause they thought I was finished. Should've knew she wasn't true, she came to me. When a man caught a sin, diamonds are blinded. I never make the same mistakes. Moving with a change of pace, lighter load. So now the king is straight, swelling my melon. Cause none of these niggas real hurt equal. Telling police how can a kingpin squeal. This is crazy, I'm on the right track. I'm finally found. You need some soul searching. The time is now.
All I need is one mic. One mic. One mic. Yeah. All I need is one mic. One mic. That's all I ever needed in this world. Fuck cash. All I need is one mic. One mic. Fuck the cars. The jewelry. All I need is one mic. One mic. Spread my voice to the whole world.
Can you hear me?
You got me muted.
Mm-hmm. You're not muted, Queen. You hear me?
I can't hear you.
Sure? Because I think everybody else can hear you, too.
You got me muted.
Uh-huh.
You're not muted. You're not muted on the radio. This is crazy. I'm so sorry, everybody. Hello?
I'm here.
Can anyone else hear us?
Yeah, I'm muted.
I'm here.
Perfect. Good deal. We're not muted. You're not muted. Let's go. Mocha Social. Queen. The queen. My queen. Tiffany. Black queen. 478-7844. We good. Nah, we good. We straight. Thank you, God. We appreciate it. And let's go forward. Can everybody hear us?
You got me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay. All right.
Perfect. Good. I'm good.
Thank you.
I think everybody can hear. I hate this.
That's okay.
But it's okay.
The call-in numbers.
We rose above
the call-in numbers.
You got it.
You got me?
This is why black folks
call in
their own stuff outside of this shit, so we don't have to deal with this shit. I promise.
Exactly.
I love, this is some bullshit. No, but I promise. Okay. But anyway.
Could I share something?
The book
that I mentioned is called 100 Years of Lynching. And you can look that up online.
Oh, I heard of that book.
Who's the
100
author?
Years of Lynching.
The guy
Ralph
told me about
Ginsburg.
That book.
Yeah, Ralph Ginsburg.
Okay.
And the good thing about it is it's actual articles in newspapers at the time of the actual lynching.
He's not getting
it's not a written book. It's photocopies of articles of lynching.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
God, give me a
second,
guys.
I'm gonna definitely
give me a second, Queen. Listen, everybody, listen. Turn your speakers down, please, so we cannot hear your background. Because I can identify on site who is the culprit. We can hear everything in your background, the babies, the children, your mamas. We love you, but we can't hear. So, like, get them away from you. We love them, but turn stuff down, too, as well. Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay.
We're listening. Saladin.
Go ahead, Saladin. You were still speaking.
No, I was just saying that's the name of the book.
Okay. So real quick,
repeat
the call-in number.
So anybody didn't want to miss it?
Okay, go ahead.
What's the name again, guy?
100 Years of Lynching by Ralph Ginsburg.
100 Years of Lynching by Ralph Ginsburg. Go get it.
Yeah.
Get it. Get that book. Yes. It's important. If the God is saying it, it's important. So get it, please. Amazon.
Yeah.
Whatever you have to do to get it, go get that book because it's vital information for our community and our people. Okay? Absolutely. And I agree with that. Thank you. I appreciate that, Saladin. Yeah. Again, the number is 478-6464-2. I don't know what the number is. Whatever. 646-478-5265. Yeah, I know. It's a mess. We can repeat it again. It's just repeating it so many times. 646-478-5265. Please call in. We want to hear your perspectives. And I see the queue is so full. Listen, let me check this queue real quick. The queue is ridiculously full. And I get it, that some people don't want to talk. I got you. But if you can, please press the number one and let us know if you have a question. You have something to add to this. And I'm so grateful because you guys are in this place. You're in our house. You're doing what we want you to do, which is participate. You just don't want to say something necessarily. So I got you. 929, I see you. And I'm going to call you in. Let's see. Okay? But thank you. I'm not going to do it right away, but I will eventually. Thank you. Dead Queen.
Okay. I have another question for you, God.
Uh-huh.
Makai Johnson, I'm sure you know who that is. You know the guy that shot the 12 officers, killing 5 in Dallas. Just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that. Do you? What's your thoughts on his actions? Do you think it pretty much hindered things or helped things?
Well, you know what? Like Malcolm said, the chickens come home to roost, and that is ultimately the hate that hate produced. And if that was a person that did it, which I'm not even sure about that, you know, a lot of times I kind of save my perspectives on some of these things because there's so much damn misinformation out there and trickery with
truly understand
stories. And a lot of these stories that have been put out are by so-called trusted media sources. But they're recanting their statements or taking back what they said and stuff. I'm like, damn, you can't really put your weight on anything. So I strive to let the dust settle first before I give accurate perspectives on empirical data or information I know to be right and exact. But in general, anytime you see incidences like that, it's like you could only, I mean, a lamb will bite you in the hand if you push that shit in the corner too bad. You know what I'm saying? Like people look at a lamb like, oh, it's the most humble, the most nonviolent, and the most meekest animal. A lamb will bite your hand off if you push it around enough. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like I said, that's the hate that hate produced. But we don't want to look at that, though. We just want to sympathize with the police officers and everything else instead of saying, like, yo, let's look at this, man. You know?
Exactly. I've actually watched a video earlier today where they was talking about Fox News, how they depict, you know, different incidents or whatever. And I really didn't pay that because I'm really – I watch the news, but I don't watch the news daily. And it's like when I was kind of watching the video, I was kind of, you know, looking like – I never really noticed that, and it's probably because I don't, you know, watch the news as much as I need to. But it's like that is a shame how they depict certain individuals in the communities and certain individuals, period. You know what I'm saying? But that's their opinion. But the thing is, how can we – of course I know due to knowledge. Of course I know that. But it's like, how can we really get it out to the masses how they should really think? Like, how can we – because, you know, it's not what you teach. It's how it's taught for the most part. So maybe that's my answer. I'm pretty much answering my own question. But how do we teach individuals to do the knowledge that's not really, you know, knowing to do the knowledge? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
how do you have people to go ahead?
Well, see, the thing about it is people do the knowledge. They just do the knowledge on things that they think are important and what's a priority to them. There's a lot of things that people are into that's important to them. You got people walking around playing Pokemon Go all day. And that shit is a priority and it's important to them. They doing the knowledge.
Right.
So you have to be able to meet people where they are and show them how they're already utilizing some of those skill sets or elements, but also how it can be redirected to something that is beneficial as well. Because if you just come off and you tell people, yo, you need to put that phone down and stop playing that Pokemon Go bullshit, or if you just tell people that they need to stop doing something or show them and tell them that it's not of value, whatever, a lot of people, they're going to shut down and don't want to hear that. So you have to be able to approach them and say, well, yeah, I know you're doing that, but yo, this is good too. This is important. You know, you can invest in doing this, that, and the third, because this is the return that you're going to get. This is the benefit that you will get out of that. You know?
So
as far as, you know, teaching people how to do the knowledge, it's like, well, you know, you have to really be able to show them the value and what they get out of investing their time in something else. You know what I mean? And I like to start with the youth. You know, I've been doing youth advocacy for like 20 years now. And working with youth, I find that they tend to be a lot more receptive and curious about learning other different things. And the older people get, the more set in the ways they are and the less likely they are to make changes or to do anything different, even if it means saving their life. But I've been a lot more successful, you know, working with younger people and introducing them to ideas and things, because they're really the ambassadors of the future. And a lot of the changes that we say we want to see nowadays, a lot of us adults are not going to be the ones to make those changes. A lot of us are set in our ways. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's more of a worthy investment in the future and with our time with those who have more time right now, which is our children. So I talk to them about that all day, you know, but
right.
I'm very selective with the adults that I deal with because, hey, they already got shit figured out, even if it's wrong as hell. And
right.
I ain't got no time for that. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And,
indeed,
you know,
indeed.
Another thing that I wanted to say, too, is with the media, did you notice how with Micah, his middle name is Xavier, and they kept deliberately saying Micah X and leaving off his last name?
Yeah.
To imply that he's associated with the Nation of Islam in some type of
yep.
way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to stir that pot. You know? So the media is
right.
very crafty. Very, very
indeed
crafty.
Indeed it is.
You know, one of the things that I said in the past is at one point the media wasn't sophisticated enough, but now they've grown and they've learned a lot, especially through social media and the Black Lives Matter movement. At one point, if an incident happened in the neighborhood, the media go straight to the neighborhood and just look for the person with the shower cap on and stick the microphone in their face so they can give them an ignorant ass statement about what happened. Now,
exactly.
The media has successfully been able to shower cap anybody. They know how to spring questions on people or to catch people at inopportune times or to ask them questions that's curveballs or to make them look dumb. And they learned that through the sophistication of the Black Lives Matter movement and how they were able to organize and amplify this message of resistance and protest that we see nowadays, because at one point they couldn't control that shit at all. And we as a group were able to really shape our own narrative that was the antithesis to what they were putting out in mainstream media. So they had to find a way to control that. And they're still wrestling with that sense of control in terms of the mainstream media, with us being able to use our own platforms or Black Twitter coming after people or whatever. You know, it's like there's a big struggle or resistance that on a social media technological level that's going on. And one thing I encourage people to do is use your own platform to consistently be a voice for what it is that you say you represent. You know? Not just now and then, like this type of show, this platform that y'all have. Is important. It's important.
Right.
It provides a voice for issues that are related to freedom, justice, and equality, resistance, social consciousness, social economic empowerment, all of those things, which is important because people are looking for that voice. And if we're not going to be the voice, who is? Nobody. You know what I mean? And everybody has that ability. Everybody. If you got social media, use your Instagram, use your Twitter to retweet things or to make statements or to use hashtags to repost articles or videos or whatever that are conscious and geared towards empowering people. We
that's
all have that
important.
Ability. We all have that ability. And that
that's
voice is just
important.
And it's just as legitimate as Fox News.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Not to say they're legitimate, but just to say that they have a standard in terms of people looking at them as a reputable news source. Your platform on Facebook or whatever is just as reputable because it's coming directly from a person that is observing. You know, when that incident happened in Ferguson, I wasn't able to make it down to Ferguson, but I raised money to send some people in my community down to Ferguson on the ground with some of my people that's there. And when they came back, we had a community meeting. And they shared their experiences because they were an eyewitness to what was actually going on down there. It wasn't no secondhand information. You know what I'm saying? So that was a simple approach towards investing in solutions that a lot of people don't think of. You can't go there, support somebody to go there on a fact-finding mission to connect with your people there so that they can find out what's going on so you ain't got to rely on no damn Fox News or any of these other places. You can do that shit yourself. You can go down there and live stream what's going on and get it directly from the mouth of the person that has an eyewitness account.
Yeah.
We have to use a lot of our skills that we have, you know? So, you know, those are just some of the solutions that I think is important.
Okay. We got a couple callers. We want to welcome in a couple callers to see if they have some questions for you, God, or myself, or Mocha. Mocha, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. 929, I see you at a Q. What's up? 239, what's up? Just too long. I'm sorry, 929. But when you're ready, raise your hand again with the number one up. We do appreciate you. We apologize for the delay, okay? I'm so sorry.
That's
got
cool.
You. We have 404, and we're not going to call 404 because we know she will have a heart attack if I do. 193, and I'm not going to do that. Oh, I see a 716.19. No one is necessarily raising their hands right now, and I'm not going to call anybody out. Again, the number is 478. I'm a liar. 646-478-5265. The number is 646-478-5265. We love you desperately, and we want you to call in with any of your thoughts, any of your opinions. This is a heavy topic. Recent police shootings in Missouri, in Louisiana. You have 5 officers killed in Dallas. And the list goes on. Amadou Diallo, Yusuf Hawkins, Eleanor Bumpers, it's so many throughout history as far as it's concerned, and it hurts our hearts. And I'm a freedom fighter, and I will always be, but I've shied away from a lot of subject matters, if you will, throughout the years, just to be quiet and listen. So I'm not as radical as I used to be. So I'm learning from you guys again. I'm kind of jumping in it all over again. So teach me. I want you to, and I love you so much. But we need to take a pause break, I think, just for a hot second, in my opinion. Okay? Just a little bit.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure, we can do that.
Good. I don't know what this song is going to be or what it's going to represent and how it's going to tie into our topic. We're going to do it anyway. Love you guys.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my head spinning, no kidding. I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride. And I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright.
I can't take it. It was too much. That's not what we do. Hell, it's too much. What's that? God. I love you. I'm sorry.
What would I do without your smart mouth?
Perfect. Love it.
And you kicking me out. You got my head spinning. No kidding. I can't
pin you
down.
Yeah.
What's going on in that beautiful mind?
I don't know what version this is, what kind of feedback y'all gonna hear, but just deal with it. Hear the music. Stop it.
Don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'll.
The hell? I'm sorry. I love y'all. I'm so sorry.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my head spinning, no kidding. I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride. And I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. Breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm
Can you give me all of you? How many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down. I'm around through every mood. You're my downfall, you're my muse, my worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me. And you give me all of you. Oh, give me all of you. Cards on the table, we're both showing hearts. All your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me. Give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning. Even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me. And you give me all. I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh.
Welcome back to the show. The call-in number is 646-478-5265. 646-478-5265. If you have a question or a comment for one of the hosts or our guests, just press your number one. We'll bring you into the call. God, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I had a couple more questions for you. This is kind of get away from the police shootings. It kind of just hone in a little bit on the violence that's going on around our surrounding communities and our cities. Besides proper education, what are your thoughts on solutions for our violence in our cities? Not just police violence, of course, but violence in itself. Where do you think? Of course, I know it started with the youth, but where are we going wrong at? What do you think we're going wrong at? Where can we start? You hear me, God? I'm not hearing you. I don't know if you can still hear me.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. I didn't hear the God.
Perfect.
He's still on.
Good. Saladin, can you hear us? Because I see you on the queue, and you up. We got you. Come on. This is crazy. Wait, whoa.
You just unmuted it. Could you hear me now?
I got you now. Thank you.
Can you hear me? We can hear you now.
I can hear you.
Yeah. I was saying that the family is the seminal unit
or the foundation of our communities. And anytime you see our communities in disarray, the remedy is within the family. And over the years, we've lost touch with what family actually means. You have a lot of children that are growing up in households right now that don't even know what male, female, or man, woman relationships are. They've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
They've never seen
okay.
it. A lot of the youth
okay.
that I work with, they may be 17 years old and they never saw their mother interact with a man.
Mm-hmm.
They don't
yes,
know whether they're male or female, you know? So,
I got
you know.
That's perfect. That makes perfect sense. I got you. But how about, and I mean it,
yeah.
part itself, listen, how about this? The individuals in our community, and I'm a freedom fighter. I've been that since I was 5, 6 years old. I've been doing this forever. What about the individuals in our community who do not come from a stimulating environment, who has a double parent household, who has sisters and brothers, somebody to listen, oh, hear me out, guide them, protect them, show them the right way, even if it's the wrong way, not necessarily, but just to give them something. Their kids in our community have no guidance whatsoever. So you have kids who are just learning on their own, and we expect them to know all the answers. So when they become sick up kids and dope dealers, we're mad at them. However, who taught them? Was it our responsibility? Listen, hold up now. I got you. I hear you. I hear your stress. I hear you coming at me. Listen, is it our us as a community who are responsible for them? Because who else would be responsible for them? You have kids who did not raise themselves. They had to raise themselves. There was nobody to raise them. So you have kids who had no upbringing, no guidance, and they couldn't get jobs. So they'd be 12, 13. So when you became a dope dealer and a pick-up kid, everybody's mad at you. But who was supposed to teach you? Us, the community? Who was responsible, guys? Please tell me. Because I feel like there's a responsibility in the community, but who is it delegated to? Because there's a lot of people that's not it's not delegated to, if you will. Okay? And that's respect, seriously, from you, me to you.
Yeah, well, back to what I was saying about family, our family have deteriorated to the point where we don't look out for each other or have that extended concept of family where we see each other as brothers and sisters or that we're responsible for each other or everyone in our community. When I grew up, if I was doing something bad on one side of town, and an adult saw me and they knew my parents, I could get my ass whooped by that adult, no problem.
Right.
And then when I get home, I get another ass whooping. So
mm-hmm.
adults had a vested interest in the youth and each other, and we don't see that nowadays.
Right.
One of the worst things that happened to our community was the crack epidemic because it undermined a lot of our family relationships. There's various other things that happened. But I've never seen a drug that was that selfish. Even when people were doing heroin, they would do the shit in groups. Or if they were smoking weed, it was more of a social thing. Crack is the antithesis of any other drug that we've seen at that time because it is completely antisocial. You do everything in order for you to individually get a hit. And it's not something that propagates family or it doesn't even function in a way where you're thinking collectively. People may get together to go cop some crack and then smoke, but all while they're doing it, they're looking out the side of their eye to make sure that the other dude didn't take a pull on that pipe longer than the other person did. It's a very, very selfish drug, and it undermined a lot of our communities. And I'm saying that to say, at one point, we looked out for each other. We looked out for each other.
Some days are gone, guys.
Where
they're gone, guys. They're gone.
Yeah.
God, and I respect you so much for everything.
So right now,
come on, where we go with this?
So,
come on.
So right now, what I'm sharing is the backstory. The backstory is we had back to the way that things were, and one way for us to get back to the way that things were is to take responsibility for one another, and it starts with just small acts. Small acts.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to one another, speaking to each other,
mm-hmm.
asking each other, how are you doing? Something just that simple that people don't even do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So from there, you begin to help build relationships. and building relationships, then you can help establish those building blocks that allow us to look out for one another, which is trust, which is confidence, which is a level of expectancy mm-hmm. in a person of what they will and won't do. But you can't trust, you can't expect, you can't have confidence in anybody that you do not have a relationship with. So we have to restore and rebuild our relationships with one another, and it starts very simple, getting to know people. I know people that don't even know their damn neighbor. They don't know their neighbor's children. They don't ask questions, how you doing today, how you feeling, just something just that basic and just that simple, because a lot of the things that we're able to check amongst each other starts with just a basic relationship, because people are looking at it like, damn, this person actually cares about how I feel and what I'm dealing with and what I'm doing, even if they don't accept that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a street cat, but a lot of people I know is in the streets. But they have a respect for me, and I have a respect for them as a human being. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because of that mutual respect and that relationship, I can share stuff with them that they're willing to receive. And likewise.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I got you. Yeah, I'm sorry. So you see people, individuals in the community, and this is all respect, all love, I promise. You know, when it comes to getting people to comply with your wishes, to just show them respect, hello, how you doing, this ma'am, oh ma'am, you know, everybody is not going to necessarily accept that based on their upbringing. I'm from NY. You know, we don't know that. We don't know the yes ma'am, no ma'am. We don't know that. We're not going to necessarily shun against it. We're just going to be confused necessarily. But what about the people that are not open to it? We do just push them to the side. They're not ready for respect. When they're not ready for that, let's push them to the side. And what do we do with those people? Just let them go?
Well, I think if you really listen to what you said, it's important to change our language of how we look at one another. You said individuals in a community. And you also said your wishes to make them comply. These are not individuals. They're community members. They're family. So we have to change our language and how we even approach and address people. Because even to call a person as an individual, they are separate from us as a family.
Right.
So just changing the language and the approach has a different type of effect. Also, it's not
right.
about our
That's
personal
right.
wishes
That's
to make right. anybody comply. It's really about how you doing. This ain't, you know, you ain't got to respond any kind of way. I care about you. You know what I'm saying? Like some of the youth that I work with, sometimes they may have a little attitude. They may be going through something, whatever. I may ask them questions, and they'll be like, I don't care, or something like that. And I'll be like, but I care about you. I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't got to receive it, but you heard what I said, though.
Right.
You heard what I said. And that will have an effect, regardless of whom or what. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's
right.
not about the transaction or getting something right then and there. You speak
right.
to a person enough, you ask about them enough over a period of time and develop that relationship, because that's what you're essentially doing. This is a long game. This ain't no short game. You ain't going to get no return tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You're building a relationship. A lot of these youth, I teach preschool, so 4 and 5 year olds, they're going to know me 20 years from now. And that's what I'm invested in. I'm not looking at them like, yo, you're going to be in my class this year. You're moving on to kindergarten. I ain't going to see you no more. I'm looking at them like, yo, I can't wait to see when they graduate high school or what
right.
they're going to do when they get older. So I'm invested in their life. I'm invested in their life. And we have to take the same approach, realizing that, yo, we may not physically be here to see the return on our investment, but I'm investing because this is a legacy of the love we need amongst each other. And it starts with just speaking and developing a relationship with somebody. Shit, speak to somebody every day for a year, and I guarantee you would turn that shit around. They could be the thuggiest, most thug person. They're going to be like, you know, they eventually, you'll work on them, but you got to be in it for that long time, that long run. You know what I'm saying?
Right. All right. That's some great information, of course, like always. I want to kind of
I don't want to kind of stick on the same topics. Of course, we spoke a little bit about the police shootings and, of course, the violence in the neighborhoods and, of course, you know, where it began at. So I guess I want to just strive to see where we can help each other. Like at the end of this
y'all
call.
Gotta, yeah, you have to come back here. Pardon me.
Oh.
What'd you say?
That's okay. Me?
I got you. Oh, no, no. Pardon me. I'm over here. I'm helping out with this basketball tournament. So,
oh, you good.
You
gave some good points and ideas on what we can do to start as an individual to strive to make change in our communities and within ourselves.
Yeah.
But if you can give like some direct points, like what can we all do at the end of this call? Just say like, where can we begin? Once we hang up from this show, what can each of us do to strive to make a change?
Find a recreation center, because this is going to be something that you will learn more about yourself if you're already not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this call, this week, make it a point to find some organization or recreation center or something that you can volunteer at least 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
Doing anything, tutoring, talking to elders, taking out garbage, something in your community where you can be active and invest 1 hour of your time as an individual with the people in your community to get to know each other, find out more about what's going on. That way you begin to build social networks, because in a lot of our communities, we may not have the capital in terms of finances in order to put into a business or to be able to start an organization or to do other different things. We may not have the tangible money to do it, but we always have social capital. And our social capital are the relationships or the networks so that we have one another. So we have to be able to invest that, which means go out, find some organization or recreation center or something, and just volunteer your time. Just an hour a week.
Okay.
An hour a week. And doing that, you begin to network with people, find out more what's going on, and then you'll be able to get an actual tangible idea of what you can actually do in your community. It's something
exactly.
Very simple, very simple. And all it takes is us to just get up out of the house and to add on additionally to what we may already be doing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So to me, you know, so like I was saying earlier in the call, in your city, it may be an issue with police violence. That may be something that is directly impacting and affecting the community.
Exactly.
In your city. That
mm-hmm.
may not be in somebody else's city. In somebody else's city, it may be an issue with drug abuse amongst youth, or it may be homelessness, or it may be a lot of different things that's going on. Whatever it
mm-hmm.
is, get out of the house and invest at least 1 hour a week at some recreational facility or organization where you can be useful and an extra pair of hands to whatever's going on in your community. And it's something that's tangible, it's practical, and, you know, that's what I encourage people to do. Don't talk about shit. Don't be on Facebook talking about,
mm-hmm.
oh, this is bad, this is, the, you know, go out and do something.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And that's funny that you say that, because, pardon self, my next question was going to ask you, like, for those who do have issues in their communities with the police, like, what can be done to, say, for, of course, my city, Cleveland, for example, we don't have much issue. We have had a few major issues with police shootings, but primarily it's within the communities, individuals killing each other, shooting each other for senseless reasons. So in a case where in my city, what would be an option for them to strive to bridge that gap between so much tension with the police and the communities, or communities amongst other communities?
Now here's where it can get real gamey, right?
Mm-hmm,
back
mm-hmm.
in like 2001, President Bush created this faith-based collaborative where faith-based organizations, primarily churches, qualify for federal money to target issues in their community around social services. So basically, George Bush put together this initiative where churches started to get money from the federal government, which essentially separated and closed that gap that, you know, people used to talk about, oh, separate church from state. Well, nah, not now. You know what I'm saying? So since 2001, the direction of a lot of churches have changed because they get this money from the government now. And because they're getting the money from the government, there's a lot of shit that they're not going to get involved in. They're not going to be talking about social justice issues. And one thing you recognize is that's why they come out always trying to quell the peace. And not to say we shouldn't be about peace, but they'd be on some pacifying shit a lot of times. Not just churches, but other different houses of worship, too, are doing it because they're getting that money from the government. So they're not going to bite the hand that's feeding them. And a lot of times in these cities where you see these incidences of violence going on with the police department, the first line of defense or the first people that step up that act as the mediators or the intercessors between the police and the community is the church organization. So I would never encourage people to just go directly to the church and try to get them coordinated and ask them for help or whatever, because they may be supporting the status quo because they're getting that money.
Exactly.
So I would encourage people, you have to be able to survey the landscape first. Find out who is supporting the status quo and who's going along with stuff and who's not. It may be a church group, it may not be a church group, but you have to find those organizations or people in your community that you could align with that have a direct link to the police station that have your same vested interests at heart. So, for example, about a week ago, I attended this prayer vigil and a meeting about the police force in the community here in my city. So all of the key players were there. You had the local politicians, you had the pastors, you had some of the police officers, all of that. And I know all of them because I'm always doing stuff in the community. So I go there, I check it out, and this one pastor get up there, and he start using the same narrative that you see all of these black pastors around the country using, all lives matter. And then he goes into this long diatribe about, you know, because we need to take care of ourselves. You know, a lot of it is on us. We don't need to be walking around with our pants hanging down. Now, we're discussing police violence, but he gets into this conversation about we don't need to be walking around with our pants hanging down, and we don't need to see no more couches and television sitting on people's porches. And I'm like, oh wow, okay, I know the kind of bullshit that you want. So I know that I'm not gonna come to you and align myself with you if I'm striving to get some stuff done in the community in terms of police relationships with the community, because you want some bullshit. So I already know that about this type of person. And then I'm also watching the other people who are aligned and associated with him, because y'all in the same damn boat.
Exactly.
You know? So
one
of the things that we can do, children, and I constantly go back to our babies, right? Children, oftentimes we have programs in our cities where it's meet a police officer day, or police officers may come to your elementary school or your middle school to talk. It has to be able to, you have to strive to find those different type of events where it's that medium where you can get to know your neighborhood police officers or people in the police force. And a good way to do it is to attend any kind of forums or community meetings that you have going on where the police are going to be present, because it's a safe environment and it's not as a tense environment where you can get to know somebody comfortably. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's an event that's going on where it's a festival and there's police walking around or whatever, or the law enforcement in your city may have an information booth there or whatever. Get to know people. Find out. The more you network, the more you get an opportunity to have these conversations with people that are in positions to affect change in your community. But if you don't know nobody, you don't know who the officers are or anything like that, it takes you out of the circle of leverage for you to be able to communicate with the people that you need to get things done. And you're able to do that by just being able to get out and meet people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Get to know people by name. Find out what people's position is and what they are in charge in. It's the same way with politicians. You know, people talk about politics on a national level in terms of the presidency, but real change is affected on a regional and local level. These are people that you oftentimes can rub shoulders with and see way more often than a president. You know, your councilmen and women may be shopping at the same grocery store as you. It's easy to talk to them about certain things.
Exactly, yeah.
And to find out what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick, part of the side of thing. We got a caller.
Uh-huh.
Mocha, you got a caller for us?
Actually, I don't have a caller right now. I just had a question.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. My question for the guy, just not you, Queen, the God. Listen, mm-hmm. those of us who are in an environment who are not, let's see, let me give my words. We don't have an environment that's quality, if you will. What about those children in the community who do not have an environment like that, like just that can raise them, teach them, guide them? We got you. What about those kids? Who are responsible for them? Because I feel for them too. Because we can have all the rules in the world for those who are downtrodden, if you will. What about those who just have no guidance, no parents, no mamas, no daddies? What about them?
Those children or those kids, as you said, are our children.
Are they lost?
Our kids.
Okay.
You can hear me?
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I said those children, those kids are our children and our kids. That's the first
mm-hmm.
step. We got to change our language.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we see them as our children and our kids, we're already thinking what we can do about it. As long as we have a mindset like those children or those kids, that's a separative mindset. That's like
you
shit.
Listen,
yo, what,
me,
you know
what I'm saying? Part of self, God, I will always acknowledge our children, no matter what. I often play devil's advocate. So when you hear my speak, I don't want you to think that I'm saying those kids on the, you know, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that's, you know, that's what it comes down to. We have to change our language. Change our language. You know what I'm saying? Those is our children. Those is our kids. You know what I'm saying? So from there, we're already thinking about what we can actually do about it. But as long as we say, them kids is bad. Like you said, they're going to continue to be bad. Instead of they be in our backyard being bad, then we're going to do some shit about it. Like, nah, you know, check them where they at, wherever they be at, you know what I'm saying? With love,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Sure.
Definitely agree.
Yeah. But, you know, we're in an era where we have this rugged individualistic mindset nowadays. I mean, at one point, if your neighbor didn't have no sugar to go along with their Kool-Aid, they'd knock on your door and be like, yo, you have a cup of sugar or something like that that I could, you know, borrow? To make this Kool-Aid. Nowadays, if you knock on your neighbor door and ask that, they'd be like, well, hell nah. Or why did you sell your food stamps?
That's a different mindset.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a, I got to get mine, you got to get yours. You know, it's all about me. And it's in the language. It's in the language.
Yeah,
I'm a do me. You know what I'm saying? At one point, we wasn't hearing that shit that our parents or older people were trying to put us down with. Nowadays, I'm not even trying to hear that shit.
Right.
That's way worse. It's a step off from the level of ignorance that many of us used to have. And it is in the language. It's in the language. And in the beginning was a word, and that actually defines our reality, how we speak. How we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be more conscious of that. You know what I'm saying? Because that
That's
is
right.
really what's going to shape and mold our reality, how we talk
Let me ask
and speak
you this,
things
God.
Into existence.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, Queen. I have a lot of questions. get them all in.
Okay,
the individuals in our community who do not come from a stimulating environment, they don't know better. They don't know to do X, Y, and Z. And I'm coming from the perspective of I am a freedom fighter, so I get where you're coming from. That's what I went to school for, what I was raised in. So you can't tell me anything I don't know, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that in a braggadocious, if you will, kind of way. I'm just saying it's fact. Just this freedom fighter stuff, you know, where do you direct an individual who just doesn't know any better? Where do you direct them? They don't have anybody. What book? Lifeline. You know, family. Family, if you will.
How do you help the rugged or the rugged?
Let me press rewind. Let me do that. Let me press rewind. Our children, I don't have a stimulating environment, if you will. I don't know anybody that knows the operational system of white world supremacy. I don't know anybody that knows the miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson. I don't know anybody that does that. I don't know anybody that knows that. But I'm in trouble, and I need that because I need to prepare for my future. What do I do? Where do I go?
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to start where you at, and you got to start where they're at. What I mean by that is the first thing we have to do is to do a needs assessment on any type of problem we say we're striving to solve. Most people, they go into these situations, they already got their mind made up about, well, oh, it's not stimulating, they don't know nothing, they don't have this, that, and the third. You'll be surprised about how resilient they are. If they're still here and they're able to navigate those circumstances to be here, then they obviously have a level of intelligence that we are not receiving. We have to figure out how are they doing it. That is the question that you have to ask children like this. How are you able to do that? I know your parents ain't home and shit, but you seem like you're eating every day. How are you doing that? I see that you may not have a place to sleep all the time, but you're making it to school on time. How is you doing that? Because there's a level of resilience and wisdom that's present there. You got to meet them where they're at. Because a lot of the things that we say that they don't have, they may have more of it than we do.
Very
but we have to do an
Very
effective
true.
Needs assessment in order to find out where we can reach them. Yeah, we may not have, and that may not mean giving them a book by Carter G. Woodson. That may not mean giving them any book, but encouraging them to write their own book. You know what I'm saying?
So
we got to meet them where they are instead of having a level of expectancy of, you know, what we're going to do for them and everything. Shit, we, for real, they may be our salvation.
Yes, of course, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You got it. I got you. Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God, are we still on the radio? Oh my goodness.
You're still on.
Queen.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Queen.
I'm here.
Oh, okay, we're still. No, I just want to make sure we're still on the radio. I forgot we were on the radio. Okay. Yes, the number is 646-478-5265. I forgot about the people. Listen, no, this is serious information for your life, your lifeline, your children, everybody. The number is 646-478-5265. This is Freedom Fighter Talk. This is Pan-Africanist Talk. This is Everything Talk. This is your life talk. Hashtag all of that. And I love you guys. We all love you forever. But I'm sorry, I just got caught up in the teaching. Because when I hear good teaching, I don't know about you guys, but I stop and I listen. I listen to the God. That's the God taught me something just now. And I had
to
stop. And I forgot about you guys. Yes, I'm sorry. It is what it is. So... Queen, do we have anything else to add to this matter?
I just want to kind of allow the guy to kind of introduce himself a little bit from his perspective and kind of give some information about his books, his website, where we can read some of his, where some of the callers can, you know, do the knowledge of some of his readings.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Indeed.
Well, if you go to Google and you just put in Atlantis, Bill, that's two words, then my radio show will come up, which is Atlantis Bill Talk Radio, and I deal with a lot of social commentary on there. I speak about science, relationships, anything that I've been researching, and then also my website will come up where you can purchase my books. I've written 14 books right now, and some of the books are a collection of essays about different subjects. I have a book about relationships. I've written a book called How to Change Your Name Without a Lawyer, a common step-by-step guide for just the average everyday person that's interested in legally changing their name, not necessarily for religious purposes, but also cultural purposes, or even if they wanted to change their name to a stage name because they're an entertainer. So I've written various different books like that. I've helped other people publish, and I also have my YouTube channel. It's you can go to YouTube and just also put in Atlantis Bill, and then my YouTube channel come up, and I have different videos on there where I'm speaking about some of the similar topics that we shared today. So yeah, so that's all I would say. So I'm a youth advocate. I'm a writer, journalist, and creative artist. So strive to be busy
and
stay positive and productive. Because you know, like they say, idle time is the devil's playground.
Indeed,
that's why people
is.
Be caught up in so much stuff, because they ain't got nothing to damn do. Find something to do, and you won't get caught up in no bullshit.
So true.
But listen, Queens, I gotta get ready to get off this phone because I'm over here.
We appreciate you guys,
indeed. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me. Anytime y'all want me
thank
to come back
guys.
On,
we
let
appreciate
me know.
You.
Okay,
all
definitely.
Right. I love y'all. Keep doing what y'all do.
Love you too.
Okay.
Love you too.
All right. Peace.
All right. Well, Queen, I think we did it. We did what we had
to do. I think we did. We did it again.
We fulfilled our mission to the masses.
Yes.
And if you guys don't think we did, let us know. 646-478-5665. Also, you can check us out. We're going to get another email soon. But for right now, Mocha Soul Show at Gmail. Mocha. Y'all know how to spell. Come on, Mocha. Soul Show at gmail.com. MOCHA is Mocha. MOCHA, Mocha Soul at gmail.com.
I'm working
get at
on
me,
for me,
suggestions, anything. And we'll do what you say we do. Okay? Yeah. Queen?
Yeah, I'm working on one as well. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but I thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to future shows, and of course, I will be doing one in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure what the topic is going to be, but I would like
I
to thank everyone who tuned in. Oh, yeah, I am. I got a couple ideas. But
please.
Thank you for everyone that tuned in, and we look forward to hearing from you guys soon. Peace.
All right, later. Peace, later.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
So, you were a little far from the curb on the parallel park.
Oh.
But not far enough to deduct points. You've passed. Drive safely.
Thanks, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. I won't let you down.
Tens of millions of songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews, cancel anytime.